Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'd invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 4. I'll be reading through this gospel lesson through the course of the message, so you might want to follow along. As you're turning there, I'd like to just talk to you about geography. I love geography, and this past week I ran across an article about the southernmost county in West Virginia. Maybe you saw that article about McDowell County as well. McDowell County was a booming place back in the 1940s and 1950s. It is a beautiful picture postcard type of place to live. The bad news about McDowell County, West Virginia, is McDowell County is a coal county, and so from 100,000, the population has dropped down to 21,000 as the coal mining jobs have gone away. And because it's in the mountains, the roads are narrow and there is no money, and so accidents are common. It's expensive to build roads in McDowell County. It costs six times as much to build a freeway in the mountains of West Virginia as it does on the plains of Kansas. And so it's no surprise that McDowell County is kind of neglected as far as road building. Population shrinking, and it costs just way too much to build roads and bridges. In fact, 10 years ago, this beautiful bridge was finished. Wouldn't you like to be Christine West, who's this bridge is named after her? It's a bridge from nowhere to nowhere. And to me, McDowell County, West Virginia, is the picture postcard for nowhere, USA. And the reason why this came to my mind is today we are going to stop off at a nowhere place, and Jesus is going to talk to a nowhere person in Samaria. The gospel lesson begins with Jesus in Judea. Judea was the southern province of ancient Israel. Jerusalem was not only the political capital, but it was also the spiritual capital. The temple was there. All the religious elite lived in Judea. But as you read through John's gospel, there is this reoccurring theme that Jesus comes down to Judea and teaches in Jerusalem, but the religious elite turn up the heat on Jesus. The hostility becomes greater and greater, and so that he doesn't die before his time, he goes again to Galilee. And that's where our lesson begins, John chapter 4. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now Galilee is the northern province. Galilee was where Nazareth and Capernaum are. This was Jesus' home base. Galilee was called Galilee of the Gentiles because the Gentiles, the non-Jews, outnumbered the Jews. It was a spiritual backwater, but it's still not the nowhere, the McDowell County of ancient Israel. No, that was the middle province, of Samaria. The text goes on, verse 4. Now he, Jesus, had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. So, Jesus has to go from Jerusalem straight through Samaria, through Sychar, up to Capernaum. It is simply a matter of geography, right? But that's not really true. You see, Jews would always take a detour around Samaria because Samaria was the nowhere place of ancient Israel. This goes back hundreds of years before the time of Christ. The people who lived in this central province of Samaria were taken off into exile by the Assyrian Empire, 700s BC. We don't know where those people were taken. They are just lost to history. But then the Assyrian Empire brought in other people groups to populate this area. And they brought their own gods with them, and they mixed together their worship of their own gods with the worship of the God of Israel. And because there was this poison of idolatry present in the Samaritan worship, Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. Samaria was the last place a God-fearing Jew would want to be. And yet, the text says it was necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria. It was necessary because God wanted him to build a bridge in the middle of nowhere. So our text goes on. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. Now we're told that it was noon when Jesus was sitting at that well, and this woman comes out. And we really don't know the backstory for this woman. I wonder if maybe she was the kind of woman that had five different husbands because she was such a good-looking woman that she could choose anybody she wanted. Maybe the fault was with her. Or maybe she was a woman that five different husbands used and abused, and now the sixth man wouldn't even marry her. It would be nice to know this backstory, but we don't. All we know is that the guilt that she carried were like these West Virginia mountain valleys that separated her from the rest of her townspeople. She was coming out at the wrong time of day to draw water because no one wanted to associate with her. So she is in a nowhere place and a nobody. And yet it's with this kind of person that Jesus wants to build a bridge to. The text goes on. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." This woman knew the rules. Not only was there this valley of guilt that separated her from her townspeople, there was this huge divide that would separate her from a Jew and certainly from a man. But Jesus ignores the rules because he wants to build this bridge. Jesus answered her, verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Whoa, this guy who is trying to build a bridge to her is getting way too personal. You see, this is the sad fact. You and I have these valleys of guilt that very often separate us from each other, right? But the saddest fact is these valleys of guilt also separate us from the very one who has come to bear that guilt. Jesus is getting too close. He's building that bridge too close. And so the woman tries to push him away, just like we sinfully tend to think, no, you don't want to come here, Jesus. Because you see, we're not the Kansas City Plains type of people, are we? Remember I mentioned earlier that to build a freeway in the mountains of West Virginia costs six times as much as it does to build a freeway on the plains of Kansas. You know, we tend to walk into church and we look around and go, man, there's a lot of Plains of Kansas people here. The other people here don't have a very big valley of guilt that separates them from their God, because they are so much better than I am, because you can't see the sins in the heart of the people around you. Like I often say that people, you know, we all put on our game face on Sunday mornings. We put on our not only our Sunday best clothes, but also our Sunday best face. And it looks so very often that everybody else has their life all together. They are Kansas City Plains type of people. It was easy for Jesus to bear their guilt. But I'm this West Virginia mountain valley kind of guy. What is it that is that valley for you? Is it some hidden sin that you hope no one ever finds out about? Is it a sin of the past, a sexual indiscretion that Satan constantly brings up before you and says, there is this huge valley that separates you from the one who could bear your guilt? Is it abuse of alcohol or drugs? Is it the way that you treat your spouse or your children? What is it that's that deep mountain valley where you look at it and just say, it's not worth building a road to me, Jesus? I have to believe that's the way this woman felt. And so she pushes the very one who could bear her guilt away. Oh, I don't have any husband. And you and I might push Jesus away and say, I don't have that great a need. Really, really, Jesus, I am that Kansas City Plain kind of person. I'm a pretty good person. But Jesus knew this woman's past. And he knew her present. And that's true of you and me too. Jesus knows very well that every one of us is a West Virginia mountain valley kind of person. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. This is getting way too personal. So again, she pushes Jesus off. I don't want you to build a bridge towards me. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Let's switch topics. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Let's just talk about religion and not our relationship with the one who could bear guilt. You see, it's not about religion and rules. It's about our relationship. Is there a bridge that connects us with the one who could bear our guilt? Jesus says, woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and truth. And they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. And the bridge is built. I'm the one who will bear your guilt. I'm the one you're looking for. Now, what's amazing is that Jesus built this bridge to this woman not because she asked, but simply because of his love for her. I so much appreciate the epistle lesson for today. In Romans chapter 4, it says that God justifies the ungodly. The word ungodly in the New Testament is only used to refer to unbelievers. God justified unbelievers. You see, Jesus built that bridge to nowhere. And honestly, he doesn't care if that bridge isn't used for the next 10 years. He's built the bridge. And he's inviting us to use that bridge. To believe that even though we were his enemies, Jesus died for us. You know, last night it was humorous and touching that a little boy in the back pew, when we were watching the video, asked his mom, why is Jesus so sad? Why? Because Jesus was bearing this woman's guilt. And Jesus was bearing our guilt. You see, when you look underneath this bridge, it's pretty impressive. This bridge is actually 20 stories above the bottom of the valley. It is impressive when you look at it from underneath, right? To appreciate the bridge that Jesus has built towards us, we have to look underneath and see how incredible it is that God would set aside his power and glory and become just a human being who would bear this crushing burden of guilt in your place and mine. And the bridge is built. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 5:2. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. See that again? He doesn't build a bridge because you are such a wonderful person, I am such a wonderful person, that God would just have to want to live with us for eternity. He says, I recognize you are my enemy, you are ungodly, and yet I am going to build this bridge. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Or similar words to Colossians chapter 1. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Jesus has built this bridge to nowhere. He's built that bridge to you and to me. And he invites us to come to him across that bridge. In just a few minutes, we have this incredible privilege of stepping up to our God and kneeling before him, if your knees allow, and just confessing, I'm this West Virginia mountain kind of person. I don't deserve to have any relationship with you. And Jesus will again bridge the gap between us and God when he gives us his own body and blood to assure us our sins are forgiven. You know, that bridge was a focus of the newspaper article because, you know, Trump is promising to build more roads. The bridge that Jesus builds for us is not going to get national news. But this is what we want to celebrate: that he has allowed us to cross from death to life, that he might bring us to God. And this bridge to nowhere suddenly becomes a bridge to everywhere. The woman who was ashamed to talk to anybody else, who went out to the well all by herself at noon, goes back to the city and says, there's this guy who's built a bridge to me. There's this guy who has offered me the life that will give me eternal, the water that will give me eternal life. It is the Messiah, the promised Savior. And it's that same joy that Paul had in 1 Timothy, where he says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, but for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. This bridge to nowhere becomes a bridge to everywhere as we experience this relationship with the guilt bearer. Then he calls us to build bridges with the people around us, so that through us, more people can know that the bridge has been built. And in Christ, we have eternal life. This is our mission. Please stand and let's speak together this mission. By every possible means, we bring every person within our area of influence closer to Christ. Amen.